This is an important name because it's a name that talks about the healing power of God. The Word of God says in Psalm 107 and verse 20, if you may go there, Psalm 107 and verse 20. He says, He sent, meaning God. He sent His word. Wow. He sent His word and Rapha them, healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. God delivered them from their destructions because He sent His word. He cured them, Rapha. He mended them, Rapha. He repaired them. You see, when we're talking about healing, those are the words that we're thinking about. How are you mending? Are you cured? God repairs you. He restores you. And He says He does it by His sent word. Think about that for a moment. That God sends His word. He sends His word and He heals and He delivers from destructions. Now, before I go deeper on that word, the next verse says, "Oh, that man will praise the Lord for His goodness." This is part of how you get what God has sent. You begin to praise God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Praise. And then watch the next one. And let them sacrifice. Wow. You mean all of these are connected to the healing grace of God? Let them sacrifice, give sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. What does that mean? When you receive the word of God, you say, I'm going to obey this word. I receive this healing word. And you begin to thank God for that which He has done by praising Him, by worshiping Him. And then it says, sacrifices. Those sacrifices are in the offerings of thanksgiving. When you begin to celebrate, listen. Remember, the word is the word Rapha, and it means to be healed. It means to mend. It means to be repaired. That means that you don't wait for everything to be completed, but your actions of faith and your actions of thanksgiving begin to release the continuity of that which has begun already in your body. You begin to thank God for what has been done already, celebrating Him with thanksgiving, knowing that that which you are thanking Him for, He has done. May I say this here? God is not going to owe anyone. If you're already praising God for healing that you're trusting you have received by faith, and you've even gone to the extent of bringing an offering of sacrifice, bringing an offering of thanksgiving to Him, declaring, rejoicing that God has done a work in you, God shall not be put to shame. You see, part of the problem is that we wait for everything to be done first, then we start thanking. Now, there were 10 lepers that cried for healing to the Lord. They shouted with a loud voice, and the Lord says to them, He says, go show yourself to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. They were still lepers. But they began to obey the word. And as they went, as they were heading to the priest in the Gospel of Luke, the Bible says they got cleansed. That was what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to go to the priest, and the priest was to certify that they were healed. But as they were heading there to the priest, based on the word that the Lord spoke and sent to them, the Bible says as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them turns around. He didn't go to the priest that was the traditional priest of the day, that was certified by the community as the priest, because at this time, the role of the priest had become political. Isn't it ironic that even now it's political? We have to vote for, in some denominations, vote for who the pastor is going to be. Vote for this and vote for that. We're always voting. So, as they were heading in that direction, they were cleansed. One turns around and he came back to the Lord. He identified that the real priest was not the traditional priest that they were all heading towards, but that the real priest was the one who sent the word, who said, go, show yourself to the priest. He didn't tell them which priest to go to, but the wise one, the discerning one, chose the right priest. And when he came to the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ shouted with thanksgiving. The Bible says, 10 were cleansed. Where are the 9? In essence, he was expecting them to come to him. He was expecting them to come to the one who had released the word of healing into their lives. But they were heading to get their certification from somebody else. And so all they experienced was a cleansing. But the Bible tells us that one who came to the Lord, the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, it says that one was made whole. He was made whole. You know what that means? It meant that if there was, through the process of time, while he was a leper, he had lost his pinky finger, that a new, brand new one grew out. It meant that if he was scarred because of a wound, that was cleansed. That there was not a sign on his body that he was ever sick, that he was ever a leper. He didn't need to go get certification from anybody. He just walked back home. And when the children and the wife came to him, they had no questions. The father who left home with a missing leg was back home, whole, every whit whole, because he came back to give thanks. If you want to be healed, delivered, and set free, know how to come back with thanksgiving. You know, so many people get healed, but they do not know the principles of continuity, that God wants you to praise him, that God wants you to come to him with thanksgiving, with a sacrifice, and to testify boldly that something has happened in your life. He sent his word and he healed them. The God we serve is a God of the turnaround. is a God who wants to turn things around for you. The Word of God says to us in the book of Exodus, where this name was first revealed, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, the children of Israel were heading towards the promised land. The Bible says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness. Remember, we talked about 3 days today, where Abraham sighted the plains of Moriah. It says they came and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. No water. You can live many days without food, but you can't last too long without water. Our whole system, your whole body, is made out of water. Out of this body, I know we came out of the dust, but close to 80% of your body needs water. And when you lack water, you lose a lot of things. Water is very, very important. Your organs thrive with water. Your blood with water. Everything about you needs water. That's why you need to be moisturized. Even your skin needs water. And here they are, found no water. When it says, and found no water, it means they were looking. That's quite interesting. God gets them across the Red Sea. And they have to be looking for water. How does that compute? Think about that a moment. You see, when you read the Word of God, you don't pack your brains. It says right there that they were looking or found no water. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went into the wilderness of Shur. What is Shur? Shur, that Hebrew word Shur, means a wall. In other words, they crossed the Red Sea and they hit a wall. Have you ever been there? You're going and you're going and it seems like everything is going right, and all of a sudden you hit a wall. And they went in the wilderness of Shur. That's not the right place. You see, sometimes things happen in our lives to bring us into an awareness. God wanted to reveal something to them about who He was, so that they will know that at all times. Next verse goes on and says, and when they came to Marah, Marah simply means bitter, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Have you ever been disappointed? You hit a wall and then you find a solution and you're celebrating the solution. Oh, praise God. We got water. And yikes. This is terrible water. The Bible says the waters were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Marah. Do you know that it is from this same word, Marah, that we have the name Mary? Maria. It all comes from this same root word, Marah. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that don't start complaining. God is still in control. Because you see, the healing grace of God comes to you in your Marah, in your place of bitterness, in the place where you've hit the wall and you have come to a place of disappointment. God changes this D-I-S appointment to T-H-I-S, this appointment. Please hear me. Your disappointment is going to become your this appointment. The appointment of God with you. So the next verse goes on and tells us. It says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? They murmured. They start complaining. Who can blame them? They've hit the wall offshore. They have come through this place of the Red Sea, the place where God crushed them and God performed miracles. They've seen the power of God. The pillar of cloud is there. The pillar of fire is there. That pillar separated them from Egypt while Israel crossed the Red Sea. Listen, we can celebrate the miracle of the Red Sea, but I want you to understand something. In the midst of their crossing, there were true concerns. Can you imagine? Sure, it's dry land, but there's walls. There's a wall of water. There is a wall of water. There's a wall of water on both sides. And there you can see the fish. This was living aquarium right there. No glass, just God holding it back. What if this thing gives up and we all get drowned here? But in the midst of all of their fears, they were still going. Why? God was there with them. They've come and they've hit the wilderness of shore or the wilderness of a wall. And God was with them. They see Marah, the waters of Marah, bitter waters. They are disappointed because now this is what they're looking for. But what they're looking for does not give them what they need. It was bitter. And they started murmuring. While they should not murmur, you can understand why. You know, we're so quick to point fingers at these Egyptians or rather these Israelites for how they responded to God. But the way they responded was based on the fact that they were only looking at the blessing, not at the blesser. And you and I can be in that same place, griping and complaining and not looking to see what God is doing in your particular situation. You know, I have experienced the awesomeness of God in the most difficult settings in my life. The most challenging times have been the times that I've seen the power of God the greatest. Not that I look for tribulations, but the trials of our faith bring us into a place of wholeness. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to me today? I'm saying you are about to experience the power of God concerning healing in your particular situation. If you did not get sick, you may not have seen this part of God for your life. So why you do not celebrate the sickness? You celebrate the fact that God is about to reveal something about himself that you have not experienced personally. You may have heard the story about what God did for other people, but you'd not experience it yourself. And today, you will experience it yourself, because this day, I release the word of God, the healing word of God, into your spirit, into your soul, into your body, into your finances, into your family, into your marriage, into every area of your life. I declare by the authority of the word of God, you will not be disappointed. God shall show himself strong on your behalf. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. He will cry to Moses. Moses cried to the Lord. And the Lord, I want you to see this, showed him a tree. Not every tree. Showed him a particular tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Wow. Same waters, bitter waters, but here there was a tree. You know, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. He who hung on the tree, coming into the bitter waters of our lives and turning it around. That marriage that was a total mess, that failed to meet your desired dreams, hopes, and aspirations. You thought, I will never be married. And finally, here comes this guy galloping in his nice horse, so to speak. And you fell in love and you found out this apple is full of worms. And you want to complain, God, why me? But God says to you today, see the tree, throw it into these bitter waters. And that same husband, that same wife will be transformed, will be changed, and your marriage will come alive by the authority of the word of God. You say, Pastor, God can heal marriages too? Yes. He's in the business of healing. He's in the business of mending. He's in the business of repairing. He's in the business of turning things around. And he can do it in every area of your life. The bitter waters were made sweet. And so the Bible says, there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them and said, This is the statute, this is the ordinance. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that is key. So somebody was not listening. And the reason why they ended up, most of them die in the wilderness, was because they did not listen. Thou wilt diligently, fervently, faithfully hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. Excuse me? How did we get here? We were just talking about water. And now God is saying, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. So what is the point? God is saying, listen, I am going to remove you. When you listen to my word, when you listen to my instructions, I'm going to remove you from the state of being in dis-ease. He says, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So this was a teaching point. You know, I am a man who believes in the Word of God. And sometimes we can make statements that are true, but not altogether true. I can come to somebody and say, you know, God is not going to teach you anything by this sickness. God wants you to be healed, and that will be true. But is it altogether true? No, God sometimes allows things to come into our lives so that we can learn something. And so with every trial that you go through, you need to come to God and say, there is something in this. This experience that I'm going through, Lord, let me learn something out of it. It's not that God is trying to teach you something, but there's something to be learned from every experience, from every challenge, from every circumstance that comes your way. And this was a teaching point. Yes, they were looking for water, but God was saying, listen, the reason why you hit the wall, the reason you came to where you are right now, is because I need for you to learn how to listen. Follow my instruction. Follow my guidance. Follow my leading. Let me be your good shepherd. The one who's going to guide you and help you become all that you need to be in life. The question is this: are you and I going to let that happen? God wants you healed. You may be having another situation right now, but God really wants you healed. And why does he say, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians? We need to go back and look at what happened to the Egyptians. Their waters been messed up. Bugs all over the place. Their economy wiped out. Those were part of the diseases. The first fruit of every family, even of the animals, wasted away, not being a conduit for blessing. For the first fruit released unto God is supposed to cause every other thing to be blessed. In other words, God rebuking the devourer out of your life. And God says, listen, point of lesson. Learn this. Just listen to my word. Receive my word. Obey my word. Follow through with my word. And I assure you, in every area, whatever it is that plagued the Egyptians will not plague you. And part of what plagued the Egyptians was that their wealth and their resources were wiped out. Everything they had, gone. And God is saying, that's not going to happen to you. Especially now that we are going through the experiences in the world of COVID. I said something to us very early in 2019, I guess you might say, about what was going to happen in 2020. And one of the things I said to us was this, that this was going to be the year of separation. That we are about to experience God separating, and that we are going to be sheltered in the goodness of God. You need to embrace that word, child of God, because the word that you do not receive and celebrate with thanksgiving will be a word that will not be fulfilled in your life. If there was a time for you as a child of God to rejoice in the goodness of God and recognize that you are not going under, but that you are going to ride in the authority and the power of the Most High God, walking in divine health, walking in divine prosperity, walking under the favor of God, that this is the time that your greatest hour, your greatest moments are now. Now. It's not coming. It is now. The devil wants you to believe the lies of the enemy and think that you are going to struggle. You are not struggling, child of God. Struggle is not part of God's portion for your life. You are under the covenant of God's grace. And he's made a promise. He says, for I am the Lord that healeth, Rapha, thee. I'm the God who heals you. Do you know what that means? That means that if something happens to you and you have not even noticed it, that God is already fixing it. Before you are even aware that you had a problem. That is part of Jehovah Rapha. God fixing things before you even became aware that you had a problem. You know what? As well as you, we're going to find out amazing things that God did for us that we were totally unaware of. Can you imagine how many accidents you've escaped without knowing it? How many messy situations that you've escaped without knowing it. My kids used to watch a cartoon when they were younger. I've forgotten the name of that cartoon now. But this, I think it was Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget was in all kinds of troubles, but never was aware that he had any problems. Somebody was always there helping him out of the problems. And so he went in his merry way, thinking he was all that. That's what God wants to do for you. As Jehovah Rophe, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Raphika. Saving you from yourself. And he delivered them from all their destructions. Let's go back to that psalm. Psalm 107. Child of God. In Psalm 107 and verse 20, notice the word of God. He sent his word. He sent his word. That's a past tense. He sent it. He's not sending it. He sent it. And Rapha them. Heal them. delivered them from their destructions, from their destructive ideologies, their destructive ways. The word of God sent brought about deliverance. Many years ago, the Lord had sent me to the land of India. A man of God there had invited me to come do some meetings for him, mass setting, and also they had some Bible schools and wanted me to do some training while I was there. Suppose I was there for about 2 weeks. And while I was ministering in the school and visiting different people, God was busy doing miracles. I remember one of the amazing miracles that happened was this woman. I think she must have weighed 350 pounds at least. She was very heavy set. And she was bedridden. She couldn't step out of that bed. The ailment that she had, if she put her foot on the ground, if there was a grain of sand on that floor, it would shoot a real sharp pain through her body. She had not walked for about 3 years. And he brought me to this house and wanted me to pray for this woman. So I got in, I walked straight to her bed, and I stretched my hand to her. I said, "Come, walk with me." She did not hesitate. This was a woman that had been bedridden for about 3 years. She did not hesitate. She just moved her legs off of that bed, stood on the floor of her room, and she walked out, and I walked her outside her room, outside onto the compound. Nothing was swept, and this woman was moving around. I had not even prayed. What happened? A word was sent. Come with me. That meant that she was healed already. She believed that word and she came out healed. The place erupted. A few nights later, I was in a mass crusade. And I'm skipping a lot of miracles that happened during this particular ministry trip. I'm in a mass crusade and I'm certainly preaching the word of God. This is the first night of the crusade. I'm preaching the word of God. I'm preaching and preaching. And after I had finished preaching, I wanted to pray for the sick. And the Lord spoke to me. "I don't need your prayers." I said, "Why not?" He said, "It's testimony time." I said, "Testimony time, but I've not prayed." I said, "I don't need your prayers." I said, "God, but how am I going to have the healing without praying? Because that's all I was used to. You pray for the sick, then they get healed." And the Lord said to me, "Did I not say in my word that I sent my word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions?" I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Now then, it's testimony time." I'm having this conversation and I'm still talking in the natural, you understand. So I said, "It's testimony time. And all of a sudden, the pastors that were on the stage with me began to grab their Bibles and they were heading down the stairs. I said, "Lord, what is going on?" He said, "They think you're crazy." I said, "But Lord, you told me to do this." He said, "I didn't say you were crazy. They are the ones thinking you're crazy." So now I'm looking at the audience. Vast amount of people in the ground. And nobody's moving. So I kept on saying, "It's testimony time. It's time for you to testify of what God has done in your life," and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, there's a guy about 50, maybe 75 feet away from me. The guy starts coming. And the guy is coming, stands up, and he goes like this. And I'm thinking, that guy better not be coming here. So I'm looking for somebody else to help me. Nobody else is moving in that whole ground. But this guy keeps on coming. And I knew he wasn't healed. How could he possibly be healed? Everybody on this ground know this man is not healed. But he kept on coming. And kept on coming. And kept on coming. And I'm thinking, okay, the ushers who are right down on the main, on the grounds, they're going to send him away. But no, they don't do that. They help him up the stairs. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? I'm looking, trying to find help anywhere else. Nobody's moving in the grounds. Not a soul, but this guy. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe he was blind and now he can see. Well, maybe he was deaf, because I know for sure this guy doesn't have a miracle that is visible to me right this very moment. And the guy comes and I ask him, and expecting him to tell me that he was blind or he was deaf or he was mute or something else. I said to him, "Do something that you couldn't do before." And the guy, the interpreter interprets, and the guy goes, "Oh my God, this is not happening." I look around, nobody else is moving, nobody's coming to the stage, just this guy. So I say to the interpreter, I said, "Tell him to do something that he couldn't do before." He said, "That's what I told him." I said, "But I don't think he understood you." I said, "Tell him again and tell him to do something that he couldn't do before." And the guy goes, "Oh my God." Now I'm frustrated with the interpreter. I'm after the interpreter. When you get frustrated, you try to attack whoever it is you can attack. So I'm attacking the interpreter because he's not doing it right. And the Lord says, "Stop disturbing the interpreter. He's doing his job. Tell the man to do it again." So I asked him, the gentleman to do what he did again. And the Lord says, "Watch him." And when he jumped this time, his hand went a little bit higher. And he jumped a little bit higher. I said, "Do that again." And his hand, both hands went a little bit higher. And he jumped a little bit higher. I said, "Do it again." And he did it again. I said, "Tell me exactly, what did God do here?" And the man begins to testify. It's been a few years. He had been paralyzed. And he was carried into the grounds by his friends. And had not walked all these years. And when he heard me say, "It's testimony time," he said, "Something told me to get up and go." And so right before my eyes, the eyes of everybody, this guy who had been paralyzed had walked up, and right there he was getting healed. Do you know that man left that stage completely whole? walk in, totally restored. And while I was busy thanking God for what had happened, the lineup, the blind, the deaf, the crippled, there was a lineup of people. We could not even go through all the testimonies. God had moved mightily. And it was not because I prayed some powerful prayer. It was because he sent his word. Just like I am speaking to you right now, the word of God has been released into your spirit. And right where you are, you can begin to do something that you couldn't do before. God's healing power is flowing right there in your house, in your room, wherever you are. Listen to me right this very moment. God's power has been released and miracles are happening where you are. Begin to celebrate the goodness of God. Begin to testify of the awesomeness of the power of God. God is your healer. His name is Jehovah Rapha. He's mending you. He's restoring you. He's making you every with whole. Will you believe him? Will you trust him today to be that God in your life? Will you trust him? You don't need me praying for you for your healing. You just need to receive the word of God that has been sent to you today. And let me restate 2-3 things from the next verses. 21 says, oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness. What goodness? The goodness that is manifested in your life right now, because he's healed you, healed your marriage, healed you in your area of your finances, healed you in your relationships, healed you in your body. It doesn't matter how complicated your situation is. God, if he is well able to raise the dead, can raise you up. And in this ministry, we have seen God raise the dead. And it was not because of some long prayer. It was because of the faithfulness of God. We need to celebrate the goodness of God for his wonderful works. To the children of man. Jesus, our Lord, paid the price. The word of God says, by the stripes that he bore, we were healed. So you need to begin now to begin to praise God for his goodness. His goodness towards you. The psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Receive your healing. And the next verse says, not only should we praise God, verse 22 says this. Watch this. And let them, that means don't just praise. It says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's the second thing. Bring the sacrifices of thanksgiving unto God. Because you are thankful that that need in your life has already been met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Sacrifices of thanksgiving. And then thirdly, and declare his works with rejoicing. Not with a sad face. Well, I believe God has healed me. No. I thank God I am healed. I thank God my marriage is restored. I thank God my children are experiencing the breakthroughs in their lives as God has promised me. I thank God that every part of me is responding to the power of God. And finally, Psalm 103. Hear the words of the Lord. This is powerful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, everything inside of me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And part of the benefits that you have is this, that he is a God who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth all. Shout it so loud in your house I can hear it right here. All thy diseases. He healeth all thy diseases. And watch this. I love this. Who redeemeth thy life. Is that not like delivered them from their destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He redeems you from destruction. And crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, watch this, watch this. In verse 5, it says this. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I tell you what, oil of Olay cannot compete with the word of God. Your youth is renewed. Your bones strengthened, your muscles strengthened, your vessels, your arteries, your veins, everything about you renewed, renewed. Your youth is renewed because God has filled your mouth with what? Good things. Good things. Stop talking about, oh, my arthritis. Oh, my cancer. No, if that's what you want, then you're going to keep it. Or you're going to tell cancerous cells to die and stop multiplying in your body. I am cancer free. And I give God praise for the victory that he's bestowed upon me. You can be a child of God and die from diseases. That does not mean that you're not going to go to heaven or experience the life of the kingdom of God. But you won't have experienced the benefit that God has for you. Don't forget any of them. You know why God says, and forget not all? Because the benefits are so much. There's too much. So, if there is something in your life that needs to be fixed, know that that is part of the benefit that God has for you. Thank God for it. Thank God. I am gainfully employed. Thank God, my business is prospering. Thank God, I am walking in divine favor. There is peace all around me at all times. Speak what you want and stop cursing your life with the words that come out of your mouth. Know that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the miracles that have already taken place. Miracles are happening right this very moment in the lives of your sons and your daughters. Sometimes things happen and we are totally unaware of it. But Lord, bring your people to the place of awareness. Your word says, O God, as you revealed your name that you showed to Moses a tree, we symbolically connect that tree with the cross and the price that you paid. But that tree could be anything that you, God, can show to your people. Specifically, something to do, something to say, some way to respond to a particular situation and becomes the answer that turns a bitter situation around. for you cause all things to work together for our good. I ask, O God, that your sons and your daughters, every one of your people, everyone will have the eyes of discernment, that they will see that which is around them, that which needs to be applied to the bitter waters around them. We trust you and we thank you that you're the God who heals, delivers, and makes every with whole, that you are doing it now for your people. May we all praise you. May we all bring sacrifices of praise, of thanksgiving, worship, and adoration as we celebrate that which you have done already, that which you are doing, and that which is yet to be manifested. Whatever the stage, Lord God Almighty, we receive you as our Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, now I ask that every son and every daughter, Lord, O God, will begin to answer that name, that through them your healing power will be brought forth into the lives of men and women around them. In Jesus' name, we command it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the greatest work of healing is in being saved. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to end this broadcast today without presenting you the way out. And if there were ever a time where we need to be restored in our relationship with God, I believe it is now. So in the wisdom of God, would you please, right this very moment, make that decision to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Lord and your Savior, your Redeemer, for he's a God who redeems you from all destructions. Repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, I have heard your words, and I receive your word of salvation. Come into my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. I want to connect back to you and boldly say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I thank you for saving me. I confess you as my Lord right now. Amen and amen. If you pray that simple prayer with me, then I know for certain that what God did for me so many years ago, that he is doing it for you right now. For close to 46 years, I have been walking with the Lord, and he's not failed me, and I know he will not fail you. Next Sunday, I'm going to continue on the names of God and present you another name to consider. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Love you. And remember, there's no Bible study or prayer meeting this next week. See you next Sunday. Love you. Bye-bye.